Radio 3FM, 90.6.
Hallo bei 3FM, Carmen Santiago hier und im Rückblick haben wir heute die Helden meiner Jugend, Doggy Dogg. Die bekannte Crossover-Band aus den 90er Jahren war am Mittwoch in Ulm und hat im Roxy ihr vorerst einziges Deutschlandkonzert gespielt. Vorm Konzert hat sich der Frontmann der Band, John Connor, Zeit für ein Interview genommen. Ob es das einzige Deutschlandkonzert bleibt, hat er mir unter anderem verraten. Aber bevor es soweit ist, wir steigen direkt mit der ersten Frage ein und die war, was verbindet Doggy Dogg eigentlich mit Deutschland?
Yeah, we've been coming to Germany since 1993 and more than 20 years of concerts coming here. So it's always a pleasure for us to come back to Germany. We had lots of great club shows and festivals and the German public has been very good, very supportive for Doggy Dogg.
Gibt's was Bestimmtes, an das du dich erinnerst? Is there anything special you remember?
Oh, well, there's so many memories from 21 years of coming to Germany. So I'd have to say there's been lots of cool things. We've played in soccer stadiums in Bochum. We've played in gas stations in another town in Germany. I mean, so many things from really big moments to just funny little things. So we made our last album, Walk With Me. We recorded in Gütersloh in Germany. So we have a long history with Germany.
Ich habe gefragt, ob es irgendwas Spezielles gibt, an was das sich erinnert. Und zum einen ist das neue Album in Gütersloh entstanden. Und in den 21 Jahren, in denen es Doggy Dogg schon gibt, haben sie einiges erlebt und in Fußballstadien gespielt zum Beispiel. Also da gibt es eine Menge, was sie mit Deutschland verbindet. But today you're in Ulm. You've never been to Ulm before.
I don't think so.
It's the highest spire of a church in Germany. Mm. It's so... That's almost famous for
the biggest chapel in Germany. Yeah. That's it. Okay. Yeah. So, is there a lot of students here? It seems like it's a college town or something.
Dann fragt, ob es hier ziemlich viele Studenten gibt. Ja, it's a lot of students here. It's like a student town. It's really hard to get an apartment.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. Always tough to get apartments in student town, but that makes it fun. Normally there's a lot of energy in student town, things to do. Kids are always looking for fun times and parties to go to. So
yeah, it's many bars are around here and stuff. So in the night, there's really much outgoing.
Cool.
Ja, die Studentenstadt hier in Ulm. John, ist auch schon aufgefallen, dass hier eine Menge Studenten gibt. Ich habe ihm jetzt gerade gesagt, hier gibt es eine Menge Bars und nachts ist ziemlich viel los. Das ist das einzige Konzert, das Doggy Dogg in Ulm spielen. It's the only concert in Germany.
At this time, yeah. We'll be coming back over to Europe in July, August and September, October as well. So I'm sure we'll have more concerts in Germany. We always have more than one every year, but you always have to have the first one for the year and this will be our first one.
Okay, es ist derzeit noch das einzige, auf jeden Fall das erste für dieses Jahr, aber es werden noch welche folgen im August, September, meint er. Was ich mich schon immer gefragt habe, ist, was hat es eigentlich mit diesem Bandnamen auf sich? So, what's the name Dog Eat Dog about? You don't eat dogs and you aren't a dog, as I see.
Well, maybe we have eaten dog once or twice. Who knows?
Went to Japan or...
China. No, we may have eaten bad Chinese food, but not dog, I think. When we started out, we had a few different names, you know, we couldn't really decide. And then a friend suggested, hey, what about Dog Eat Dog? And all three of us said, yes, this is perfect. Yeah.
You didn't say nuts?
No, because the band that they were coming from was called Mucky Pup. And pup to dog and dog eat dog, it seemed like that was a good name for a new beginning and kind of a play on the old band that they were with. And I don't know, it made sense.
Yeah, you can't call yourself Dog Eat Puppies, so that wouldn't work.
No, I don't think nobody would like that name. So yeah, Dog Eat Dog just seemed to fit.
Doggy Dog, der Name ist entstanden eigentlich aus so einer Idee. Es gab da vorne eine Band, die hieß quasi, hatte den Inhalt mit Hündchen und dann hatte einer die Idee, das Dog Eat Dog zu nennen und irgendwie waren alle gleich begeistert davon. Also hat nichts mit Hundeessen zu tun und es ist auch keiner ein Hund. So, your real big time, the real hype was all Borough Kings. So, what was it like back then?
Well, it was a different time, you know, 20 years now. And a lot has changed in 20 years, I can promise you. Nobody had telephones in their pockets. There was no such thing as the internet. Yeah, now I can look back with nostalgia and say, oh, things were great. It was wonderful. But of course, back then we were wishing that we were around 20 years before that or something when, you know, when punk rock was first starting out or, you know, it was just exciting, I think, because culturally, we're going through a time of change. You know, this is when right around the time that Nirvana had just gotten big and snowboarding was just being invented right then. And so there was a lot of changes. Things were going on. Music was going through changes. I mean, before Nirvana, we had a lot of hair metal bands and these guys from Seattle came out and you could just wear a t-shirt and just be, you know, a stoner and play music and it was okay. Or you could just be a skateboarder and still have a band. And that was enough of an image. And for us, it was just, it seemed like when All Borough Kings came out, we were the right type of band. We had the right sound and the right attitude and, of course, the right music for a certain generation. And even 20 years later, people still celebrate the music. They still enjoy it. So I know it wasn't something just for that time. It's something forever now.
Als damals die Platte All Borough Kings rauskam, damit wurden Dog Eat Dog ganz, ganz bekannt. Und John meint, sie waren halt zur richtigen Zeit am richtigen Ort. Da war alles noch nicht so image gehypt und nicht jeder hatte noch ein Handy in der Tasche. Es war eine andere Zeit. Und da sind sie halt mit gereift und da waren sie dann am Start. Do you like the time now with all the mobiles and the internet and stuff? Or do you say back then it was better?
You know, it's just different. And it's cool to be a part of all the change. You know, I love that now that I've got a mini computer in my pocket and it's a great tool. I can do many things with it, find out a lot of information, listen to music, record music, all in these little devices. So the technology is amazing and it's up to us to take the tools and use them correctly. You know, same thing. If you have a pen and a pad, if you don't know how to write, it's just useless. But if you have the right tools and right things to work with, then you use it for your advantage. You know, sometimes people lament or they don't like technology. They think that people are separating from one another. And I can see that point too, but it's all how you use it. You know, you can have this tool in your pocket and you can use it to your advantage, or you can allow it to hinder what you have to do. You know, you're never going to be able to download or capture the feeling or the energy of a Dog Eat Dog show. You might be able to see the picture, but you're not going to really know how it feels unless you come. And that's why I'm not worried about what we do. You know, you can't download the way we deliver this live music. You have to come and you have to feel it. And yeah, you can use your phone and try and capture it. And that's fine too. But for me, I want everybody to use their eyes, use their ears, use their sense of smell, use your natural tools, the things that you're born with, and yeah, enjoy that in that way.
Ich habe gefragt, ob er denn jetzt Probleme hat heutzutage mit den ganzen technischen Neuerungen, mit allem, was da mitgeht. Aber er sagt nicht, früher war alles besser. Nee, er findet es jetzt eigentlich auch ganz gut, dass er seinen Minicomputer hat, mit dem er aufnehmen kann, mit dem er Fotos machen kann. Und was ganz wichtig ist, so eine Doggy-Dog-Show selber, die kann man auch nicht downloaden oder sowas. Da muss man dabei sein, das muss man fühlen, sehen, schmecken, riechen. Und da muss man dabei sein. Und das sind Dinge, die kann man nicht festhalten und es ist liegt an uns, wie wir mit der neuen Technologie umgehen.
On the Allboro album, there was a song, No Fronts. It was like the big one. Mm-hmm. It's like against borders, against racism, mm-hmm. against everything. Mm-hmm. Ich spreche jetzt auch nochmal auf das alte Album an, Allboro Kings. Da ist der Song No Fronts drauf. Da geht es gegen Rassismus, gegen Grenzen. Und jetzt ganz aktuell gibt es ja den Vorfall in der NBA von den LA Clippers. Und der Besitzer hat sich gegen Schwarze geäußert. Und da ist jetzt ein Urteil rausgekommen, dass der auf Lebzeit keine Spiele mehr besuchen darf und dass er eine Strafe zahlen muss. Und jetzt wird auch noch versucht, ihn zu zwingen, dass er die LA Clippers verkaufen muss. So now actually there's this big thing in America going on. You know what I'm talking about already. Yeah. You heard LA Clippers.
Yeah.
And the story's going on now.
Sure.
He's not welcome anymore at any NBA
yep.
game all game over
practice,
America.
Yep.
He has to pay a fine and they want him to sell the club.
Yeah, yeah.
What you think about? Is this right? Is this too much? What's the real thing to deal about it? Because No Fronts, you were back in the yeah. 90s, no racism. Now 20 years later or 25 years later, there's still a topic.
Yeah.
In the big USA.
Right. And it's in, you know, this isn't a player or a referee or somebody who talks about the game. This is an owner. This is somebody that's supposed to have the highest standards possible. So yesterday on the way to the airport, I hear that NBA commissioner talking about it. And I said, good, this is really, they need to make a strong statement. And they did. The hammer came down very hard because they can't afford to not make it clear that it's just not okay. It's not okay for anyone, but especially for somebody who is supposed to have high standards, that's a partner with the National Basketball League. And listen, there's a time in the world right now, one of the great things about the world we live in is the fact that people around the world, almost in every country, every nation, are recognizing the rights of other human beings. You know, we can't have things like race and color or religion or sexual orientation dictate how people can live. It's not fair, it's not smart, it's not just anymore. This is 2014. Part of our responsibility with all this information that we have now is to share it and let people know it's not okay to be a racist. It's not okay to be a bigot or against anyone's, you know, sexual orientation. I mean, I thought the NBA did the right thing, and they're smart to do it, because I think the people, particularly in LA, can make a statement. The players, now the players don't have to make a statement. How do you think those guys felt being employed as pro basketball players, a dream job, but then you have to work for this guy who's a racist or doesn't value your worth as a human being, just you're a cog in his machine to make him money. So from what I understood, the players were getting ready to say, hey, we don't play, or the fans weren't going to come. And before that happened, the NBA did the right thing and said, hey, we shut this guy down. This is not the way we want our owners behaving. And that's the wrong example to set. So well done by the NBA. And apparently this man has a history of being a racist and a not very nice person. So I guess in the end, no matter how much money you have or how you try and protect yourself, you know, the real you will come out.
Ich meine, das ist genau richtig, wie die NBA reagiert hat. Das ist überhaupt nicht so hart mit den Sanktionen, und es ist auch ganz wichtig, und es liegt auch an uns heutzutage, dafür einzustehen, dass wir eben keinen Rassismus zulassen oder irgendwie sexuelle Orientierung aburteilen und sowas, dass man dafür steht, dass alle gleich sind. Und es muss auch für die Spieler ziemlich hart gewesen sein, für einen Mann angestellt zu sein und für einen Mann zu arbeiten, der offensichtlich ein Rassist ist und solche Sachen sagt, wie bringen keine schwarzen Spieler zu mir oder bringen keine schwarzen Zuschauer ins Stadion und mach keine Bilder mit schwarzen Spielern. Was natürlich jetzt naheliegend wäre, wäre vom Besitzer der LA Clippers, dass er sagt, das war ein Missverständnis. But don't you think he will say it's like a misunderstanding something? Could this be?
I don't know. I mean, you know what? Part of doing something wrong or bad, it's only bad until you recognize your mistake. You know, everyone everywhere also deserves a chance at redemption too. And as much as everyone wants to condemn and throw everything at this man too, you know, he has to acknowledge, apologize, and that's how you start becoming a good person again. And until that happens, then no one is going to believe that he's a good person. So, yeah, maybe he deserves a chance somewhere along the line. There's a way to get back in the good eyes of the public, but it's going to be actions now, not words anymore.
And he has to hurry. He's already 80.
Yeah.
Er sagt, ja, auch wenn er sich entschuldigen würde, es ist ein harter Fehler, aber jeder hat die Möglichkeit oder sollte die Chance haben, eine zweite Chance zu bekommen. Und wenn man sich entschuldigt und es einsieht, dann wird man auch ein besserer Mensch. Wir hören uns jetzt mal ein Lied von Doggy Dogg an, das dann ganz gut dazu passt. Und das ist No Fronts. So, wir sind zurück bei Doggy Dogg backstage. Vorm Konzert neben mir sitzt John Connor von der Band. And so, what Doggy Dogg is doing now? Was macht Doggy Dogg denn jetzt gerade im Moment?
Well, at the moment, we're just starting off our anniversary tour for All Borough Kings. It's been 20 years since the album's out. We've been coming over to Europe every summer to do festivals or club celebrations, whatever it is. And yeah, we didn't put out a record. We don't have a record company anymore. We're doing our own management. So Doggy Dogg is at a lower profile now, but I think we're much happy because we don't have the pressure. We don't have to work for anyone. We decide ourselves what we want to do, when we want to do it, and how we want to do it. So yeah, you're not going to see our name on MTV or maybe in the charts, but people who remember the band will come out and support us. And we also don't have to feel like somehow salesmen or something, you know, we're not here. Yeah. Buy our new record, buy our new t-shirt. It's more like, hey, we're here and we enjoy playing. And if you like to see us, come see us. And that's it. There's no sales pitch. There's no, yeah, buy this or my baby doesn't eat.
Doggy Dogg sind jetzt eigentlich ganz gechillt unterwegs. Sie haben jetzt keine Plattenfirma mehr und sie machen alles selber. Und das gibt auch jetzt kein aktuell neues Album. Sie machen das, wie es ihnen gerade passt. Und sie gehen gerne auf Tour und wissen, dass die Leute, die sich an Doggy Dogg erinnern, auch vorbeikommen, weil sie ja kennen. Aber sie haben nicht mehr so einen Verkaufsdruck, wie es vielleicht früher einmal war. You guys, you know from school. A couple of the guys of the original band and so long. Sie kennen sich ja alle aus der Schule von der Band. Und jetzt würde ich gerne mal wissen, man hat ja irgendwann mal auch ein Klassentreffen. Und wie ist denn das, wenn man da wieder auf ein Klassentreffen geht? So you have class reunions at school? And how is it if, you know, people go there by themselves and they show their babies and their families? And there's just the band is showing up. Half of the band is showing up. And here we are. We were the nerds in high school, but now we're back. We went all over the world on touring. How is it?
Sure. Well, you know, maybe a less dramatic version of that. But yeah, it's kind of like that because Dave and I, who started the band, and Sean, original member, you know, we all grew up in the same area. Sean and I went to school together, so we have a lot of common friends. And even though he's not in the band anymore, him and I are still really close. So yeah, sometimes we go back to our hometowns and see some friends and they show us pictures of their kids or something like this. And yeah, we show them, here's me stage diving from last week. And oh my God, check this out. You know, this is my passport with all the stamps in it, something like that. So yeah, there's a little bit of a difference. You know, when you're in your 40s and you're still making music, it's a little surprise to some. It's interesting when I see maybe some friends on Facebook or something from school, and these guys look 10 years older than maybe they should, or they got no hair, or they're fat or something like that. I'm like, still got skate clothes on and, you know, crazy hair or just something, you know. I think we look and act a lot younger maybe than our age. And hey, music helps to keep you young. So it's a great advertisement for music in general. You know, maybe driving around in the van is not the best thing in the world, but no, it's fun. I think part of the reason why we're still doing it, like I said, there's no label, we're not making big business, but we are enjoying what we do. And that's the most important. When people see us on stage, they know we're not, oh God, these guys are just going through the motions. Look, they're really not into it. It's the opposite of that. People will see, you know, the fire in our eyes, the energy, the love of playing music. And, you know, our cliche is we kick this just for fun. But honestly, that's where we are right now. We're back to square one in a way that, hey, we're here to have fun and make the music, and the music helps to keep us young and it keeps us healthy too.
Auf dem Klassentreffen ist immer recht lustig, wenn dann alle ihre Familienfotos auspacken und die Band sagt halt, ja, hier ist ein Foto von mir letzte Woche beim Stage-Diven. Aber sagt, es ist auch schön und sie sind wirklich noch in Kontakt. Und Musik hält auch jung, also sie sehen irgendwie jünger aus als die anderen dann noch, die in der Klasse waren. Und es wäre ja auch ein gutes Statement, dass man mal Musiker werden sollte. So, was wäre denn gewesen, wenn du nicht bei Doggy Dog gewesen wärst? Wärst du dann Verkäufer geworden oder was? What would have become if you wouldn't join Doggy Dog? Would you be a salesman? Would you become a lawyer? Or would you just hang around under the bridge?
Ding! No, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, even right now, like, Doggy Dog is a part-time thing for me. So I'm working, you know, I have a job when I'm at home, maybe not a dream job, but a job that's cool that I like. I get to work outside. I'm not in an office or stuff like this. But for me, one of the things that I also do in my free time that I enjoy is I coach kids in ice hockey. I'm an ice hockey fanatic. Oh. And I work with kids, just volunteer. You know, it's not for money, but it's for fun. And I'm pretty good at it. I like coaching. I think maybe like something like coaching or even a teacher is something that I probably would be good at. I think I would enjoy it as well. So like helping out maybe young people or something like that, or doing some sort of coaching, I think is, it's a good job for me. I have aptitude for it and I like it.
Okay, John wäre nicht unter der Brücke gelandet. Nee, er macht auch in seiner Freizeit oder auch freiwillig Eishockeytraining geben und Kinder unterrichten. Und er denkt, vielleicht wäre es in so eine Richtung gegangen, Lehrer oder sowas. So, for everybody who couldn't make it tonight to the concert, you already said you're coming back in autumn, winter.
Yep.
Why to join a Doggy Dog concert?
Wow, I mean, why not? Doggy Dog is one of the rock bands around today that has a real show. You know, when we come on stage, we bring energy from the first minute until the last minute. So if you come on a Friday or a Wednesday or a Saturday or a Sunday, whatever day it is, you're still going to get our very best. We come to play. We use our music as a vehicle to have fun and celebrate. And that's what it's all about. We're known as one of the most energetic, most rocking party bands in music. And we do it every night. There's no nights off. There's no halfway party. It's all in. And that's why you should come to a Doggy Dog show, because it's fun.
Er sagt, es ist fun, auf eine Doggy Dog Show zu kommen, und für alle, die es nicht geschafft haben aufs heutige Konzert im Winter bzw. im Herbst, schon kommen sie wieder Und ihr solltet auf jeden Fall kommen, weil Dog Eat Dog sind bekannt für ihre energiereichen und rockenden Bühnenshows. So, thanks for the interview.
And danke schön to all our German friends out there. I hope you were at the show. And if you're not, you missed out.
Das war's soweit von FreeFM. Mein Name ist Carmen Santiago. Und das war Dog Eat Dog im Interview.
Radio 3FM, 102.6.